God the Creator lives on high. Yet, He takes divine birth in this world to live among us. Long before this Christian concept of God was formulated, it was integral to Vedic theistic culture, and the whole concept is captured in one Sanskrit name for God, as will be explained in the following talk.
Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 796. Those of you who are familiar with Vishnu Sahasranam will know that this name has already appeared way back in the 41st verse, or name 375, according to this recension. Udbhavaha. So there are two words here, ud. Ud is an upasarga, or a prefix. And it has various meanings, rising above, that which is the highest, excellent, Udgata, rising above, Utkrishta, excellent, Uttama, best, highest, Uchai, high. And the root for Bhava is Bhu, which means Satayam, to be, to live, to be born, to come into being. So you can see with these various mixtures, we can get all kinds of meanings. Previously, in name 375, Sri Parashara Bhatta, he gave the meaning of Udbhava in the sense of Paravasudev, the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as is understood by the Vaikuntha Bhaktas, the Sri Vaishnavas. The original form is Vasudev, Lakshmipati in Vaikuntha. As those of you who are following will be aware, this series of names Sri Parashara Bhatta describes in terms of Buddha avatar and his deceptiveness. So in this name, he gives the same meaning as he gave for Paravasudev. Udgata bhavat iti udgataha. He who lifts us up out of the cycle of birth and death. Bhava. We have this word. Bhava. Bhava roga. Bhava means coming into being. That which comes into being also goes out of being. So there's creation, maintenance, destruction. And this is the cycle of birth and death, who lifts us out of that. So that's Krishna, Paravasudev. The highest form of Paravasudev means the highest form of Vasudev. So that's Krishna. But Parashara Bhatta also gives the same meaning for the understanding that this name refers to Buddhadev. Now, how is that? Because Buddhadev, he taught the very strange idea his understanding of the name Nirvana, which is, he didn't define it, and no Buddhist has ever defined it exactly since then, exactly what Nirvana is. But it gives a similar idea to the Advaitavadi's idea of Kaivalya, that you merge into the oneness of everything. It's similar but not the same, but it has many similarities. So it gives the idea of, definitely it's very, I mean, that's the central point of Buddhism, is to get free from the suffering which is inherent in repeated birth and death. So Sri Parashara Bhatta, he gives this meaning. He who pulls us out or lifts us up out of the cycle of birth and death. But then he goes on to explain that it's, in the case of Buddha, well, it's not really so, because it doesn't really happen, because the whole concept is wrong from the very beginning. Udbhava, the one meaning is who generates. brings into being. We have in Bhagavad Gita, Mrityu Sarva Harascham Udbhavascha Bhavishyatam. Lord Krishna says that I am death, which takes everything away. But then I'm also Udbhava, that which again brings into existence in the future. It's death, and then after death there is birth. We know, we can say by pratyaksha praman, or direct seeing, that something which comes into being, something which is born, jatasya hu, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, jatasya hi dhruva mrityur, that which is born dies again. Dhruvang janma mritasya cha. But then Krishna also says that those who have died, they also get born again. So we see that birth is followed by death, but we don't see that death is followed by birth. This we have to understand from Shastra. It's taken as an axiom in Vedanta understanding and in most schools of Vedic understanding. And the Buddhists also, Buddha also taught the same thing. And he also taught that the goal of life is to get freedom from this. And actually most of the Vedic schools, they also, in one form or another, they aim for release from the cycle of birth and death. And Buddha Dev showed as if he had done that. Udbhavascha bhavishyatam, yeah. So Krishna is the generator. He brings into being. What does he bring into being? What is born and what dies? It's only the body. That's the first teaching of Bhagavad Gita. The body is temporary, the soul is eternal. So when Krishna says, Mrityu sarva harascha ham, that means that he takes away everything as we conceive everything to be in relation to our present body. We think, I am this body, this is my wife, this is my country, this is my home, this is my property. Krishna takes it all away. Actually, the wife, we may die and the wife stays, the property stays, the country stays, the home stays, but our connection with it is broken. If we become too much attached to all these things and we don't want to leave it, then we can loiter around as a ghost, being attached to it and thinking that we haven't left at all. That's why in the Vedic tradition, mostly bodies are burned, and the son, the eldest son, is the one who breaks the skull of his father. I mean, you may think, that's horrible, isn't it? When the body is on the funeral pyre, the eldest son breaks the skull. But this is all to break the attachment so that the soul doesn't loiter around the body and try to, in the subtle body, he doesn't loiter around to break that attachment. Now you've gone, leave this body, it's gone, it's burned, it's finished. So we lose everything. And then, udbhavascha bhavishyatam. Again, Krishna gives us another chance. He generates another, through his material nature, he generates another body for us by which we can again become attached, because we have that mentality to become attached to the impermanent. Asat trishna, that is one of the causes of non-advancement in Krishna consciousness, to thirst. Trishna means thirst, to thirst for that which is not real. Mukti means to get free from this, but Krishna, he generates. He's the generator, Udbhava. He's the Udbhava, the generator. He generates everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavaha mata. Sarvang pravartate. Krishna says, everything comes from me. So this is the generally accepted definition of God by anyone who believes in God, that he's the source of everything, he creates everything. It's a very basic definition and understanding. So even the wrong ideas, even the wrong ideas are generated by Krishna. He gives the intelligence to people to generate wrong ideas. Sarvasya cha aham hridi sannivishtaha matasmrita gyanam apohanam cha. Krishna says, I'm situated in everyone's heart and I give everyone remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And that is according to our desire. If we desire to forget Krishna, Krishna gives us the kind of intelligence to spin fantastic philosophies to deny Krishna. And actually, Buddhism, philosophically, it's tremendous, apart from the fact that it's all wrong. Otherwise, it's fantastic philosophy. It's really complex and worked out. And the only thing is that it's all wrong, because philosophia, the Greek word from which the English word philosophy is derived, means a love of truth. So you may say someone's made a tremendous mathematical formula, but then at the end of it all, if you work it out, it comes down to 1 = 0. So he may have a very good skill at making mathematical formulae, but what's the use if it's wrong? So in the same way, Krishna gives the intelligence to the Buddhists. They've made tremendous philosophy. They have to make tremendous philosophy in order to try to justify what is basically nonsense. The idea that, anyway, there's so many. There's no soul, but anyway, we get reincarnated. So what gets reincarnated? Nothing gets reincarnated. But anyway, even though we're not really anything anyway, we have to get free from birth and death. Who gets free from birth and death? There is no one to get free from birth and death. It's just fantastically nonsensical, and it takes a tremendous covering of sophisticated philosophy, sophistry, to try to explain even what is birth and death, and then it comes down that there's nothing there, there's nothing really there, everything's momentary, everything is not, there's nothing really exists because it changes at every moment. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist because it changes, but then if you say it changes at every moment, then if you take a moment, then at that moment it must exist. There are so many problems. Philosophically, it's very, very problematic, but it's covered over by all kinds of different philosophies. And Krishna gives that intelligence. That's the point I'm getting to. Krishna gives the intelligence by which the philosophers, not only in Buddhism, but all kinds of philosophers, they can generate all kinds of ideas, fertile minds. Fecund is the technical word, of a fecund intelligence for hatching all kinds of strange ideas. In this regard, I'm going to quote or repeat something I read from my beloved godbrother, Umapati Swami. It was really, really struck me very deeply. And I often quote this, that he writes in his memoirs of his time with Srila Prabhupada, that he was reading about Buddhism and it didn't seem to make sense to him. He said in Buddhism he had learned that you can't say it is and you can't say it isn't. You can't say it both is and isn't. You can't say that it neither is nor isn't. And all these kind of impossibilities. And then he heard Swamiji come and say, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he thought it was the most intelligent thing he'd heard in his whole life. Just clear, simple, straight. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In those words, just those few words, the whole truth, reality, encapsulated. This is how a sadhu speaks. Tato du sangam utsrija satsu sajeta buddhiman santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. An intelligent person should therefore means having understood what nonsense this material world is, an intelligent person should therefore give up all bad association and find out the association of actually saintly people. And what will we find is the symptom of those saintly people? By their words, they cut the bondage of this material world. They make everything clear, straightforward, no beating around the bush, clear. And just to go back to the previous meaning that Parashrabhata gave to Uddhava, very, very sweet, worth mentioning again, that by meditating on his being released from the bondage which he agreed to by being, he, Krishna, agreed to be tied up by his mother Yashoda. And if we meditate on that, we ourselves will be released from the bondage of repeated birth and death. Damodaram bandaharam. Damodara means he's tied up with a rope around his waist, around his stomach. But by meditating on he who is tied up, we ourselves will be freed from being tied up in this material world by him who is tied up by Mother Yashoda. So that's another meaning of Uddhava. He lifts us up. He rescues us from the bondage of material existence. Now, generator, he generates. Everything comes from him. Generator, he generates. Everything comes from him. And we find in Brahma Sanghita that even the various forms of Vishnu, the various avatars, they all generate from Govinda, Krishna, who is the original form of all the Vishnu forms, even though they are all the same, but still Krishna is the original form. That defies logic. This is the statement of Sri Brahma Sanghita. Diparchir eva hidashantaram abhyupetya dipayate vivrita hetu samana dharma yastadrigeva hicha vishnu taya vibhati Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma, who himself is the generator of everything in this universe, being deputed to do so by the original generator, the original creator, Narayana, Krishna. He says, I worship Govinda, who is Adi Purusha. He is the original form of Godhead. And this particular verse says that it's just like a lamp. If you have one lamp which is lit, you can go to so many other lamps which are not lit and lit them all, just like we see. It's quite popular in temples, especially in South India, that they do Deeparadhana. Or deepa means oil lamp. It actually just means a lamp, but usually an oil lamp. And aradhana means worship. So especially in Guruvayur, Krishna temple in Kerala, you can sponsor to have 1,000 lamps lit. And how will they be lit? It'll be set up. You have a little clay dish, or it may be a recycled, in different temples, a bit, little recycled, because the clay dish is only used once. Otherwise, you have a little brass dish with oil in it, and there's a wick which is also soaked in oil, and then it's ready to be lit. It's not lit. So you take one light, and all the lights are in rows. So you go around the temple, and you light one, and another, and another, and another, and another, and they all shine with pretty much equal brightness, but still there's one original light. So this example is given that all the forms of Vishnu, they're all the personality of Godhead, but still the original form from whom they all generate is Krishna. This is the verdict of Lord Brahma, who at one point was in the misunderstanding that Lord Narayan is the original form, which is true. We don't dispute that. Lord Narayan is the original form, as far as our vision goes. But if we lift our vision up even beyond Vaikuntha, beyond God, then we go to the inner world of God, Vrindavan, and there's Krishna. This understanding is also accepted in the Madhva Sampradaya, but they don't see any form as being superior or inferior. They take it that all the Vishnu forms are the same, and it's wrong to say that one form is in any way superior or inferior. And we do also. It's just that Krishna, he demonstrates all the qualities in full of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas others do so, they don't manifest all the qualities. They don't manifest all the qualities. Theoretically, all the power is with all the forms of the Lord. But then there are certain things, apart from power, there is Krishna's sweetness, which is unique to Krishna. His Venu Madhuri, the sweetness of his flute, his Leela Madhuri, the sweetness of his pastimes, his Rupa Madhuri, the sweetness of his divine transcendental form, and variously described as Parikara Madhuri or Prema Madhuri, the sweetness of his associates or his love. So Krishna is very, very sweet. In Madhvacharya's Mahabharat Tatparya Nirnay, he analyzes Panchatmakasa Bhagavan. The Supreme Lord assumed five different forms. And then again, 12 different forms, and then 10 different forms. So first of all, Panchatmaka Sabhagavan. The five forms, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, Pradyumna, we're used to hearing those four, and then he gives another Purushottam. Then the 12 forms are Keshava, Madhava, the months and the tilak signs, the tilak points are these 12 forms. What is it? It's Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Vishnu, Vishnuve Nama, Trivikram, Sridhar, Vamana. No, I'm getting mixed up now. Oh, I do it three times a day. Vishnuve Nama, Madhusa. The 12 forms are Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Vishnu, Madhusudan, Trivikram, Vamana, Sridhar, Hrishikesh, Padmanabha, and Damodar. Okay, got it. 10 forms, according to the Dashavatara, there are different opinions about exactly who these 10 are, but I'll do so according to our Gita Govinda, Dashavatar Stotram of Jaidev Goswami. They are Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasingha, Vamana, Parashuram, Dasharati, Rama, Balaram, Buddha, and Kalki. Then Madhva says, 1,000 forms starting from Vishva, which means Vishnu Sahasranama. The first name in Vishnu Sahasranama is Vishva. Vishvam Vishnu Vashatkara. So the first one is Vishnu. Then Para, innumerable forms. Lord Narayan, innumerable forms, Aja, unborn, infinite one, infinite forms. He is one, but the same in all his forms. In all his forms, he's free from all flaws. He has infinite attributes in all his forms. And in this way, Vishnu is called Udbhava, because he takes avatars from himself. Now, Ud also means up, superior. So his kind of birth is a superior kind of birth. Now, if we say a superior birth, oh, you get in trouble in India now if you say superior birth. You'll be hauled before the court if you try to say I'm of a higher birth and someone else is of a lower birth. But generally it's understood. We hear in Bhagavad Gita, Papa Yonayaha, the lower birth, Mam hi partha viaparshritya, yepi syuf papa yoneha, striyo vaishas tata shudras, tepi yanti param gatim. King puna brahmana punya bhakta raja shayastata anityam asukam lokam, imam prapya bhajasvamam. So Krishna says there are lower births, women, vaishas, shudras, papa yonaya, sinful births, and higher births, brahmanas and kshatriyas. We have that in England, where I was born this time, the idea of the upper class, the lords, the nobles. So there's the idea of the upper birth. But when we say superior birth, but when we say superior birth in relation to Krishna, it means it's a completely different kind of birth. We take birth being forced to, according to our previous karmic reactions. Even if we're born in a high-class Brahmin family, that's also because of a karmic reaction. Maybe good karma, but it's still karma. But Krishna, he takes birth as he likes, where he likes, when he likes, how he likes, as he likes. Therefore, Shankaracharya says, Utkrishtam bhavam janma svechaya bhajati iti udbhavaha. He is of a utkrishta. Generally, that word means excellent. That's translated as excellent. So a higher, superior birth, unlike the Baddhajivas, all of us who are bound in this material world. Just flashback to the previous Udbhava, or the previous occurrence of Udbhava in the verse 41. Shankara said that he's called Udbhava because he's the origin of the universe, being its material cause. This is Shankarite philosophy. Very different. It may sound almost like Vaishnava philosophy, but it's not. Being the material cause of the universe. Then what is the instrumental cause of the universe? So, well, the Advaita philosophy, generally, in most of their schools, they say it is very hard to define. You may call it's because it just kind of happens due to avidya. And what is this avidya? It is anivachaniya, indescribable. So Bhagavan is called Udbhava, he says, being its material cause. Prapancha utpati upadana karanatvat Udbhava. Or he also says, udgato bhavat iti Udbhava. He is he who is free from birth or worldly existence. You see? That's true of Vishnu. But they think, the Advaitavadis think, that when you become free from worldly existence, you get mukti. And Bhagavan is free from worldly existence, so you become Bhagavan. Very poor logic. Another commentator, who we've heard the name of many times in this series, Sri Radha Krishna Shastri, he says, Uttamo bhava yasya sa udbhavaha. His birth is superior, which is, it's similar. But he gives the support from the third chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, the birth of Lord Krishna to Devaki in the prison house of Kamsa. His birth is superior because it's unlike the birth of anyone else. It has various amazing, wonderful, uncommon, impossible for other characteristics of his birth. Generally, when a child is born, they're born with closed eyes. And if it's a cat, then the kitten is born in a hermetically sealed, almost like a plastic bag or something, and the cat has to lick the eye, lick the nose of the kitten, otherwise they can't breathe. How do they learn how to do that? Evolution. No, it's because Krishna's within the heart. Anyway, Krishna's eyes were not closed at birth, but from the very beginning, it's stated in the Bhagavatam, Pundarikaksha, what's the exact word? There are so many words for lotus eyes. So Krishna manifested his lotus eyes right at birth. He wasn't connected to his mother through the umbilical cord. You may wonder, well, how did Vasudev take it? How did he break the umbilical cord? Sometimes you may do in the village if the calf is born or something. You don't have any vets around. You do with some stone or something. You just find some stone with a little bit of a sharp edge and you cut the umbilical cord. But Krishna didn't have an umbilical cord. There was no midwife, and Vasudev just marched out of the prison holding Krishna. He didn't need cleaning up. He wasn't covered in blood and all kinds of mess. He appeared very clean and beautiful and shiny. When a child's born, actually, I've never seen a human child born, but I've seen calves being born, and calves and puppy dog. But seeing the calves born is fairly common in the villages in India, and it's just a mess. They're covered in blood and all kinds of slimy-looking stuff. Krishna wasn't born like that. And he had four hands with the conch, the chakra, the conch, the disc, the lotus, the mace. That's not an ordinary birth. There are so many auspicious signs that this person is not ordinary, right from his very birth. So he really has no birth, if we see. Use the word birth in the generally accepted sense of the term. He has no birth at all. He is above the very principle of birth. Udbhava. Ud means above, bhava means birth. So he's above the very principle of being born. He doesn't really get born at all. Utpati vasudevasya pradurbhava na tu janihi. This Madhvacharya states in his Vishnu Tattva Vinirnaya that birth for Vasudev means his appearance or manifestation. He doesn't get born, actually. By his own free will, he manifests himself by himself. So therefore, Janma karma chame divyam, Krishna says, my appearance and my activities are all transcendental. So janma is also an activity, but it's making the point that from the very beginning, from the very birth, his activities are transcendental. It wasn't that he was born and then he went off and did some austerities and he became transcendental. There may be many great spiritually realized persons who perform various austerities, and there may be some who from very childhood show symptoms of being a very saintly person, but they're not born like Krishna. From the very beginning, he showed that his birth is of a different category altogether. Divine birth. So this can be discussed in various ways, as is done in Sanskrit. I'll read another. Udgatam upagatam janma asya sava karanadvat iti udbhava. Another meaning is that he has his birth in one sense, but his birth is not connected to any kind of sin or blemish, which is the normal cause of birth. There's a reason for our birth, but he is the very reason for everything existing anyway. So it makes the point very clear. He's very different to everything and everyone. And it is simply his mercy that he appears among us. Anadir Adi Govinda. He has no source. He is the source of everything. Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya Murtaya Sambhavantiyaha Tasang Brahma Mahadyonir Ahang Bija Pradapita. Srila Prabhupada translates this. It should be understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. So Krishna decides and arranges the birth of each individual according to their karma. Sometimes as a high demigod, sometimes as a lower, not quite a demigod, such as a Gandharva, as a human, as an animal, karmana, daiva netrena, jantur deho papatteye, under the eyes of the Supreme, and according to our karma, the individual living gets a particular kind of body. So he gives birth to everything, he's the generator, but he himself has no birth. So we get, from this name Udbhava, we get that he gives birth to everything, and from the same name we get the understanding that he himself is above the very principle of birth as it is understood in the conventional sense, as it is understood in relation to every living being except himself. He's in a different category, Vishnu Tattva, as compared to Jiva Tattva. Another understanding, Udbhava. Ud means high, bhava birth, so he gives birth, or he is the creator of various exalted beings, the demigods, Satya Sanda Yati Raj particularly points out Parvati in this regard. Utkrishta Parvatyadibhyo Bhava Yena Iti Udbhava. He gives the example of Parvati among the devas, maybe because she is the very form of the material energy, and it might be thought that she gives birth to everything. And actually, in one sense, it's true. Shrishti Sthiti Pralaya Sadhana Shaktireka Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibharati Durga Ichana Rupamapi Yasya Chacheshtate Sa Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. From another perspective, the creation, maintenance, and destruction of everything and everyone in this universe goes on by Durga, Parvati, the female supervisor of everything. But she does so as a servant of Govinda, who's the original cause of everything. And she moves according to his direction, as a shadow moves according to the form of the body of which it is the shadow. Then Udbhava. Another meaning, bhava meaning existence. So that which exists at a high level is Vaikuntha. He who resides in a high place, exalted place, is Udbhava. Paravyom Upari. Oh, there's a very nice song, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Biraja Pare Shuddha Parabhyoma Dham Tad Upari Sri Gokula Brindabhananam. That beyond, up and above the Viraja, the river separating the material from the spiritual world, above that is Vrindavan. He skips, goes right past. Well, there's Paravyoma, there's the spiritual sky with all the Vaikuntha planets, and even above that is Golok Vrindavan. So generally the commentators, when they look up to Vaikuntha. That is in the Vedas. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Surayo Ho Divi Vachakshuratatam Tad Vipraso Vipanyave Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Suryaha Divi Vachakshuratatam Tad Vipraso Vipanyavo Jagrivangsha Samindate Vishnu Yat Paramam Padam. According to the Rig Veda Sanghita, Vishnu is in the Paramapadam, the topmost world, and is always looked up to by the great saintly persons, always looking up because it's up. He exists up, looking up. That place is looked up to as the topmost abode of Lord Vishnu. It's seen by great saintly persons. But Viraja Pare Paravyomadam Tad Upari Goloka Brindavananam Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's Vaishnava, Gaurya Vaishnava understanding that yes, there is Vaikuntha, above is Golok Vrindavan. Anyway, this is Vishnu Sahasranam. Vishnu is also Krishna. With a similar meaning, Satyadeva Vashishta gives the example of the sun, which is in a very high position, moving around as a manifestation of Bhagavan in this material world. Baladev Vidyabhushan, we may remember these last few names he's been talking about, Lord Krishna's Mahakarma of going to the going to the heavenly planets, defeating Indra, after returning the earrings of Aditi, taking for Satyabhama the Parijata tree and the throne of Indra, bringing it back to Dwarka, taking 16,100 princesses. So this is his Mahakarma. Then his Kritagama, he went back to Dwarka, and after doing all this and married all these queens, so he continues in the same strain, this same name Udbhava gives a completely different understanding of it in relation to these pastimes. He whose bhava, his acquisition to bring into being, to acquire fame, he acquired fame due to his activities. How did he do that? In a most excellent way. He most excellently acquired fame by getting the Parijata tree and the 16,000 princesses. And with this, we'll bring this talk on Sri Vishnu Sahasranam to an end. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhi evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nitaya chunakang padaya nipatya kritva chakaku shatameta raham ravimi hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu radaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanu mukarona vayang vichara yamaha Hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama natama nirvishama.